It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters, and this week we received a lot of comments about our report on the increase in cesarean births in this country. Cheryl Hunter in Bloomington, Indiana, complained, "You only interviewed doctors that have an economic interest in medical births. You failed to exhibit any alternative perspectives or even allow for women to express the life-affirming and empowering experience that is natural childbirth."
Tom Bottenhorn of Jacksonville, Florida, writes he was profoundly disappointed with the tone of our interview with Richard Conniff, author of The Natural History of the Rich. In the book, Conniff looks at wealthy philanthropists as if he were studying animal behavior. Mr. Bottenhorn writes, "Is it a crime to be rich, or worse, to have a lot of money and give it away? Has Mr. Conniff been to a working-class pub in a while? There are no socioeconomic limits to the way men and women posture. I found the entire conversation mean-spirited and petty."
Lots of people had strong reactions to Louis Menand's analysis of Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat. Originally written for The New Yorker magazine, Menand's piece took a decidedly non-traditional view of the children's story, replete with sexual imagery. "Please," writes Sandra Clark of Toledo, Ohio, "Mr. New York is the center of the world, seems to be reading his own writing too much. I'd bet most people think it's just a fun, clever, and educational book. Period."
And Walter Hobbs of Norman, Oklahoma, says, "I resent the barrage of interpretations that would make every lyric sinister or every story erotic. Would we truly believe that the creator of Dr. Seuss was actually a child exploiter and pornographer? I have heard some wonderful journalism on NPR. Using a Dr. Seuss book as a disguise for titillation is far beneath you. Please spare us this degrading drivel."
Our conversation with Marianne Giorgio, who took us through the intricacies of purchasing a modern television set, left some listeners as confused as they were before the interview. Jane Ellen Dawkins of Pittsburgh writes, "Miss Giorgio never answered the question on plasma TV precisely. What is it? She explained that it's sexy, the latest technology, looks like a picture frame on a wall, usually has a 42-inch screen, is 4 inches thick, etc. But I still don't know. What's a plasma television?"
And Willard Shapira of Minneapolis adds, "Instead of foisting new expensive technologies on us, which we don't need or want, why doesn't the TV industry spend money improving its programming instead? Dreck is dreck. I'm sticking with my trusty Dumont."
Finally, there was lots of praise for last night's piece on the WASPs, the Women Air Force Service Pilots of World War II. This is from Peg Achterman of Seattle.
"Although it seems they were quiet about their accomplishments, Ms. Taylor, Ms. Strother, Ms. Steele, and the many other WASPs inspired those of us who were born in that baby boom after the war. I didn't know any women who were WASPs, but I had many teachers, Sunday school leaders, neighbors, and family friends who were inspired to serve in so many ways in that war."
She continues, "I believe it was women like these, the WASPs, the Waves, the Rosies making planes, who quietly nudged little girls into athletics and science and technology. They learned the thrill of doing something only the boys could do, and they taught us to be unafraid."
If you've got a comment on anything you hear, we can be reached by email. The address is atc@npr.org. Please include where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.